If you like what you see, please like and share the video, subscribe to the channel, and hit all notifications. If you would like to support the channel through a one-time offering, which unfortunately is not tax deductible, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees as of the recording of this video are UHCOG83, who said your message is my go-to message for all things Catholic, keep up the good work. A user who goes by the name of Someone, who wrote, thanks very much for the great content, brother. I subbed your channel 3 years ago and have enjoyed and learned a lot from your videos, particularly the SSPX content. God bless you and your content. Also, Robert Ryan. So if you buy me a coffee, I will mention your name on the next video. By three or more, I will also read your comment up to three sentences, as long as the comment is not out of line. If you have bought me a coffee and I didn't mention you, that's because it was done after the recording of this video, and rest assured, you will be mentioned in the next video. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that as well is in the description. Now, it pains me to have to do this video. I know a lot of you are tired of me talking about the SSPX, but it's just like I said in another video, the hate, not just against the SSPX, but against all trads, is going to intensify as we approach the possible ban of the Diocesan Latin Mass. Why? Because they know people will start looking at the SSPX, SSPX-like groups such as the SSPX Marian Corps, and Sedevacantist groups, basically whoever's available to them as a means of going to the Latin Mass. And the modernists are trying to head that off as much as possible, which really does remind me of Protestant arguments against Catholicism in general. There's a lot of untruth in Protestant claims against the Catholic Church. Why? Because they know a fair amount of people are going to realize that there's no way the Protestant/evangelical form of Christianity is the original form of Christianity, and when people start looking into history, they're going to find the Catholic Church. So they want to nip it in the bud, so to speak, by lying and telling people how awful Catholicism is. Well, the same thing is happening here. As people grow tired of the Novus Ordo, those who don't leave the Catholic Church start looking into the Latin Mass. And the best place to find the Latin Mass is through the diocese or the SSPX. And if the diocesan Latin Mass goes away, who does that leave? I'm also not going to give specifics in answering Father Chris. I will refer to the material, but I'm not going to necessarily quote the documents. I have a whole playlist on my channel dedicated to defending the SSPX, and I do that in those videos. So if you want something more specific, go watch those videos. You'll understand what I'm saying as we go along. Father Chris Alar of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception gives a talk on various topics just about every Saturday called Explaining the Faith. And these are recorded and put on YouTube. I think they may actually be live on YouTube. And these videos are great. I watch them and will continue to do so. However, he did one on the SSPX titled, Is the SSPX in Schism? And the answer, according to Father Alar, is apparently yes. So I'm going to respond to that video. Let me just say, first of all, that I like Father Chris Alar. I am a Marian helper. I believe in the Divine Mercy devotion, and I pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every day. Father Alar is one of the good guys, just like Cardinal Burke, who also believes that the SSPX is in schism, is one of the good guys. I don't fault people who take that position that the SSPX is in schism. I don't agree with it, and I think an objective analysis of the facts and the history shows that they are not in schism. But not everyone agrees. Now, Kennedy Hall has put out a response video to Father Alar's video, which I recommend you watch. He doesn't give a point by point. I'm going to give more of a point by point. But one of the things that he says in that video is that the people who recently were tasked by Rome with the job of assessing the situation with the SSPX, such as Bishop Schneider and Bishop Hondor, have said they are not in schism. And their opinion should carry more weight than people like Cardinal Burke and Father Chris Alar. And I believe he's right. The reality is, when it comes to the question, is the SSPX in schism? If we listen to laymen, some say yes, some say no. If we listen to priests, some like Father Alar say yes, others like Father Z say no. If we listen to bishops, some say yes, some say no. If we listen to canonists, some say yes, some say no. So it's not as simple as Father so-and-so said this or Bishop so-and-so said that. It's complicated. But Bishop Schneider and Bishop Hondor, may he rest in peace, were tasked by the Vatican to assess the SSPX. Recently, not in the 1970s, I'm talking about within the last 5 years, give or take. And they both have said no, the SSPX is not in schism. And again, that should carry more weight than the opinion of the average priest, bishop, or even cardinal. Bishop Hondor even said that Pope Francis told him personally that the SSPX was not in schism. And Father Z worked for the PCED, the ecclesiastical body established by Pope John Paul II, to regulate Latin Mass groups and who technically had jurisdiction over the SSPX in the church. And he said that the common understanding was that they are not in schism. Again, these are clergy whose job it was to deal with the SSPX versus this or that priest or bishop's personal opinion. And you might say that since it's unclear, we should stay away. But in reality, things that are not clear are to be interpreted in the strict sense, giving people the most leeway. You can't say that they are definitively in schism. You don't have that authority. Schism is the refusal to submit yourself to the Roman Pontiff and a refusal to be in communion with those in communion with him. People seem to want to define refusal to submit to the Roman Pontiff as disobedience, but disobedience alone does not constitute schism. There has to be a denial of the authority of the Roman Pontiff, like the Orthodox and Protestants do. The SSPX does not deny the Pope has authority, even the authority to deny the consecration of bishops, and that under normal times we must obey, but these are not normal times. These are extraordinary times, and according to the SSPX, there is a state of necessity that trumps canon law. Divine law trumps man-made law. If the speed limit is 40 miles per hour, you are bound to drive 40 miles per hour, morally. But if you're taking someone to the hospital who's been shot and every second counts, divine law says that you must get them there as fast as possible, and the 40 miles per hour law no longer applies. Since the highest law in the church is the salvation of souls, and modernism is sending souls to hell, divine law has kicked in and necessitates the activities of the SSPX. That's why when people argue strictly from canon law, they miss the point. The SSPX will often point to the Arian heresy when virtually all the bishops and priests were denying Christ's divinity, and how Saints Athanasius of Alexandria and Eusebius of Samosata would go into the diocese of these Arian bishops and ordain priests and consecrate bishops to give the authentic faith because the church was in a state of necessity and prohibitions against doing so was suspended. This is where the argument lies. Are we in a state of necessity? Not is it against canon law. But isn't that what Martin Luther said? What's the difference between this and the Protestant claims? Isn't this just high church Protestantism? Well, the difference is Martin Luther and the Protestants denied the long-standing tradition and the hierarchy upheld it. Today, the hierarchy is, on a lot of things, denying the long-standing traditions and the SSPX is upholding them. Now, we are told that the hierarchy has a divine element, which cannot err, and a human element, which can. It is in the human element that this is happening, and I'll give you two examples. John Paul II said in Ecclesia De Afflicta that one of Lefebvre's crimes was, quote, an incomplete and contradictory notion of tradition, incomplete because it does not take sufficiently into account the living character of tradition, which, as the Second Vatican Council clearly taught, comes from the apostles and progress in the church with the help of the Holy Spirit. There is a growth in insight into the realities and words that are being passed on. This comes about in various ways. It comes through the contemplation and study of believers who ponder these things in their hearts. It comes from the intimate sense of spiritual realities which they experience. And it comes from the preaching of those who have received, along with their right of succession in the episcopate, the sure charism of truth. Yet Pope Pius X warned of this very notion of tradition as erroneous. In Prescinde Domine Grigis, he writes, but this doctrine of experience is also under another aspect, entirely contrary to Catholic truth. It is extended and applied to tradition as hitherto understood by the Church and destroys it. By the modernists, tradition is understood as a communication to others through preaching by means of the intellectual formula of an original experience. This idea of a living tradition that includes what we experience and hear in homilies and leads people to say Vatican II itself, as part of tradition, was condemned by Pope Pius X as contrary to the Catholic truth. Example number two, the Syllabus of Errors by Pope Pius IX says, and remember, these are errors. Every man is free to embrace and profess that religion which, guided by the light of reason, he shall consider true. The Church has not the power of using force, nor has she any temporal power, direct or indirect. Yet the Vatican II document Dignitatis Humanis says, in all his activity, a man is bound to follow his conscience in order that he may come to know God. It follows that he is not to be forced to act in a matter contrary to his conscience, nor, on the other hand, is he to be constrained from acting in accordance with his conscience, especially in matters religious. The Syllabus of Errors also says, in this present day, it is no longer expedient that the Catholic religion should be held as the only religion of the state, to the exclusion of all other forms of worship, and, hence it has been wisely decided by law in some Catholic countries that persons coming to reside therein shall enjoy the public exercise of their own peculiar worship. Remember, those are errors. Yet Vatican II says, this Vatican Council declares that the human person has the right to religious freedom. This freedom means that all men are to be immune from coercion on the part of individuals or of social groups, and that any human power, in such wise that no one is to be forced to act in a manner contrary to his own beliefs, whether privately or publicly. Government, therefore, ought indeed to take into account the religious life of its citizenry and show it favor, since the function of government is to make provisions for the common welfare. However, it would clearly transgress the limits set to its power were it to presume to command or inhibit acts that are religious. This right of the human person to religious freedom is to be recognized in the constitutional law whereby society is governed, and thus is to become a civil right. Of course, no one should be coerced into converting, and yes, people have a right to their own private worship. But the Syllabus of Errors is clear that only the Catholic religion has the right to be publicly exercised and recognized, and Vatican II denies this. Now, here are my thoughts on the Father Chris Alar video. In his video, he says that he has done a lot of research on this topic, but then he proceeds to give all the atypical accusations against the SSPX that have been answered and debunked over and over by me, yes, but also by people far better than me, such as Kennedy Hall, Father Z, Matt Gaspers, Anthony Stein, even as far back as the OG SSPX defender himself, Michael Davies. He clearly did not look into what the SSPX apologists and the SSPX itself has to say on this, or he wouldn't have said some of the things that he did. Or he could have at least presented the other side of the argument, which he did not. It was very one-sided and clearly designed to steer people away from the SSPX. Now, in the video, he does clarify that the SSPX are not sedevacantists, and that they have distanced themselves from Cardinal Vigano. He says that he agrees with them, or at least he agrees with the ends, but just not the means, and that he casts no stones on people who attend the SSPX. He says that simply attending Mass at the SSPX does not mean you're in schism, but that as such an attitude can develop over time, and that assisting at an SSPX is not a sin unless you intend to separate yourself from Rome. And that, in his mind, not everyone who attends SSPX Masses is schismatic. So he admits a lot of good things about the SSPX that a lot of people don't. So I'll give him his due. He indicates, however, that you should be going to the FSSP or the ICK instead of the SSPX. Which, okay, that's great, and I have nothing against those groups. I myself would attend those Masses, but they're not nearly as prevalent as the SSPX, and that's not an option for the majority of people. Now, here's where things start taking a turn. He said that Pope John Paul II excommunicated Archbishop Lefebvre, de Castemeyer, and the four bishops. Now, Father Chris may have not been talking literally, but people are listening, and they're going to take him literally. And the reality is, John Paul II did not excommunicate those men. He announced that they had broken canon law, and that law calls for a laete sententia, or an automatic excommunication. So John Paul II did not use his papal authority to excommunicate them. He announced that they had broken canon law. Here's the problem. Canon law also states that if a person does something that breaks canon law, but does so out of fear, coercion, or the state of necessity, even if it's not real, they just have to believe it's real, then they cannot be charged with a lete sententia penalty. If you follow what Lefebvre was saying the whole time, he clearly thought there was a state of necessity. That's why people like me say that those excommunications did not actually happen. Now, he also says that another priest gave him a document stating that Pope John Paul II had agreed to allow the consecration of those bishops. Okay, well, my understanding is what was being discussed was one bishop, and that they would not give Lefebvre a date, and he felt that they were stalling him, hoping that he would die soon because he had terminal cancer. Then they could just disband the society. If there is documentation to the contrary, that Lefebvre was given the green light, and for all four bishops, that needs to be released. But if that's true, then what's the problem? If John Paul II agreed to it and Lefebvre did it, then why was he, quote, excommunicated for doing it without John Paul's approval? Is it just a matter of the date setting? That seems awfully petty. Now, at one point, he said that while the four bishops were excommunicated, that the priests they ordained, those ordinations were invalid. That's not true. How I know that's not true is the Catholic Church recognizes that all Orthodox priests are valid and all of their bishops are technically excommunicated as well. Now, he knows that, and I think he just misspoke, but again, people are going to take what he says literally. He says that Pope Francis extended the faculties for confession and marriages to the SSPX for the Year of Mercy, but that it is unclear if those faculties were extended. And then he never really addressed it, although he did seem to reference remarks made by Cardinal Burke, but it is not unclear. In fact, here is the apostolic letter, Misericordiae et Miserere. For the Jubilee year, I'd also granted that those faithful who, for various reasons, attend churches officiated by the priests of the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X can validly and licitly receive the sacraments of absolution of their sins. For the pastoral benefit of these faithful and the trusting in the goodwill of their priests to strive with God's help for the recovery of full communion in the Catholic Church, I have personally decided to extend these faculties beyond the Jubilee year until further provisions are made, lest anyone ever be deprived of the sacramental sign of reconciliation through the Church's pardon. Now, the faculties for marriages, that was done in 2017. The Year of Mercy was 2015, so that actually had nothing to do with the Year of Mercy. And the document giving the faculties for marriage is on the Vatican website. But if you're going to say that they don't have them now, then you need to show a document that revokes those faculties. What Cardinal Burke says doesn't matter. He says that the SSPX rejects Vatican II. This is not true. In fact, Bishop Fillet is on record as saying that they accept 95% of it. It's only those parts that clearly go against tradition, like I've already shown. Father Chris says that the SSPX is not in formal schism, but they are in material schism, and that the difference between material schism and formal schism is that material schism means that the schism is there and present. Formal means that a formal declaration has been made against them. I'm going to challenge that definition a little bit. He is right as far as material schism means that the materials there, they are actually in schism. And yes, if the church formally declares that someone's in schism, that is formal schism. But material and formal has to do with individuals more than anything. Material means that it's there. Formal means they are guilty of it because they know better. So a formal declaration can be made, but someone be in material schism only because they're not aware of it. And yes, there can be no formal declaration made, but someone can be formally guilty because they do know better. So that's just a little bit of a clarification. Because the way Father Chris presents it is that the SSPX is in schism. That's a given. It just hasn't been formally declared yet, and that's not true. He says that some of what the SSPX rejects is doctrinal, which is ironic since they claim to keep tradition. Well, it's only aspects of Vatican II and beyond, which clearly go against the constant teaching of the Church, such as the two examples I already gave, religious liberty and the continuing slash living tradition, which includes feelings and experiences, which has been condemned, that they reject, because it's not tradition. Now, he says that John Salza is a doctor and a canonist. He also says that he is the world's foremost expert on how the SSPX relates to canon law. Okay, I am going to answer this Salza business. First of all, I don't think that Salza is a doctor or a canon lawyer. He was on the Fatima Center, and he always presented himself as a civil lawyer. And so unless something has changed relatively recently, he is not a doctor or a canonist, but I could be wrong. Now, Salza's arguments have been thoroughly debunked over and over again. There is a reason that those of us who have been around the SSPX for a while or watched the old Fatima Center videos when Father Gruner was in charge aren't fazed by Salza's arguments, so please stop referring him to us. I know that he's impressive to the unwashed masses. Ex-longtime SSPXers are now giving canon law arguments against them, but to many of us, I'm not speaking for everyone, but to many of us, he's kind of a turncoat, and we don't trust him. Remember, he was one of us, not that I knew him personally. And all he did was switch sides, for whatever reason. And the reason is unclear, because it's not that he incidentally and innocently attended a chapel, but then asked his bishop if it was okay, and the bishop said no, then he started looking into it more and discovered this, that, or the other, like what seems to be the reason given. He was an SSPX apologist. He knew all of this. There's an article on 1 Peter 5 called Salza Responds to Salza that quotes Salza in the past responding to the very arguments that he makes now. So the things that he is saying now, he used to argue against. Not to mention, he's an ex-high-ranking Freemason. Yet there are recent pictures of him receiving an award from what really looks like a Masonic organization. So some of us wonder just how ex-Freemason he really is, because something's just not right here. He was pretty much on the B squad of SSPX and Fatima Center apologetics. Then out of nowhere, he does this about-face coming out against the SSPX, and all of a sudden he gets promoted by all the big-name Catholic YouTubers, except Catholic Answers, as the guy who knows, and you'd better listen to him. Like I said, something's not right about this. Now, Father Chris Ahlar quotes Salza saying that the problem with the SSPX is that they reject certain required teachings. Okay, so what are those? Well, Father Chris breaks it down. He says that the Church has three levels of teachings that we must believe. One, dogma. Two, definitive infallible teachings. And three, non-definitive, authoritative, non-infallible, but can be changed over time. And he says that the SSPX does not recognize that third category. And this is not necessarily true. The SSPX does recognize that category. However, if those teachings clearly contradict what the Church has always believed, then since they are not infallible and not dogmatic, we must reject them. I've even heard an SSPX priest say that if these things in Vatican II that are problematic did not contradict the constant teaching of the Church, then we would be bound to accept them, because they are part of the ordinary magisterium. And that's what he's talking about, the non-infallible ordinary magisterium, which, yes, normally we would have to accept, but if it contradicts the constant teaching of the Church, we are bound to reject them. Father Ahlar says that the SSPX says that we are not obliged to go to the Novus Ordo, and this means they refuse communion with those who are in communion with the Roman Pontiff, i.e. they are in schism. But what the SSPX says is that the new Mass itself is deficient and therefore not obligatory, and that those people should go to the TLM Masses instead, theirs or otherwise. They do not refuse them the sacraments, therefore they see these people as being in communion with them. Father Chris says that the SSPX admits that it does not have a canonical mission, but claims divine mission. So where are the miracles? Did Saints Athanasius and Eusebius perform miracles to prove that they were right and the Arians were wrong? I don't know, but they are not known for doing so. God will send miracles to prove that the Catholic faith is true over other faiths, but there's no need to perform miracles to prove what is the Catholic faith. God doesn't do things unnecessarily. We have the witness of the popes, councils, doctors, scholastics, and saints. Go read them, and I'll see you at the SSPX chapel. The Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei was the body in the church that had jurisdiction over Latin Mass groups. So technically, it had jurisdiction over the SSPX. Over the decades, many people wrote to the PCED and asked them questions concerning attending Mass at the SSPX. Father Aylar references a 2008 letter asking if we can attend SSPX Masses that is unclear. It doesn't say yes, it doesn't say no, and acts like, well, that's all they've ever said. He then shows John Salza on Pints of Aquinas, where he says that SSPX Masses do not fulfill your Sunday obligation, and references a previous PCED letter that seemingly gives permission and says that it was for a person and their personal circumstances, not a general permission. Now, this claim has been debunked and shown by several of us that it's not true. So I'm going to show a 2003 letter from the PCED that proves both claims wrong. Father Chris's claim that the PCED never really said, and John Salza's claim that this letter that was sent out was only for one person's particular circumstances, and that the PCED has never said that we, in general, can fulfill our Sunday obligation at a Mass from the SSPX. Quote, "Unfortunately, as you will understand, we have no way of controlling what is done with our letters by the recipients. Our letter of 27 September 2002, which was evidently cited in the Remnant and on various websites, was intended as a private communication dealing with the specific circumstances of the person who wrote to us. What was presented in the public forum is an abbreviated version of that letter, which omits much of the pastoral counsel. Since a truncated form of this letter has now become public, we judge it appropriate to present the larger context of the response." So what happened was there was a previous letter, it was put on the Remnant, and it was for a particular person's circumstances, and so the PCED is now responding to everyone. Continue. "In a previous letter to the same correspondent, we had already indicated the canonical status of the Society of St. Pius X, which we will summarize here briefly. 1. The priests of the Society of St. Pius X are validly ordained, but they are suspended from exercising their priestly functions. To the extent that they adhere to the schism of the late Archbishop Lefebvre, they are also excommunicated. 2. Concretely, this means that the masses offered by these priests are valid but illicit, contrary to the law of the Church. Points 1 and 3 in our letter of September 27, 2002 to this correspondent are accurately reported. His first question was, quote, 'Can I fulfill my Sunday obligation by attending a Pius X Mass?' And our response was, 'In the strict sense, you may fulfill your Sunday obligation by attending a Mass celebrated by a priest of the Society of St. Pius X. Now, this puts the matter to rest in my mind. It says that points 1 and 3 were accurately reported in the Remnant. Point 1 is, can I fulfill my Sunday obligation by attending a Mass at the Society of St. Pius X? And the answer is clearly yes. His second question was, is it a sin for me to attend a Pius X Mass? And we responded stating, we have already told you that we cannot recommend your attendance at such a Mass, and we have explained the reasons why. If your primary reason for attending were to manifest your desire to separate yourself from communion with the Roman Pontiff and those in communion with him, it would be a sin. If your intention is simply to participate in a Mass according to the 1962 Missal for the sake of devotion, this would not be a sin. His third question was, is it a sin for me to contribute to the Sunday collection of a Pius X Mass? To which we responded, it would seem that a modest contribution to the collection at Mass could be justified. Now, this 2003 letter does refer to the schism of Lefebvre. That's because in Ecclesia Dei Afflicta, Pope John Paul II refers to the consecration of the four bishops as a schismatic act. However, many canonists have pointed out that the Code of Canon Law does not list that as one of the schismatic acts in canon law. And since Lefebvre did not intend to set up a rival hierarchy, it would not be a schismatic act. But regardless, this letter was written in 2003, and in 2009, the same document that lifted the excommunications of the four bishops also stripped Ecclesia Dei Afflicta of any juridical authority. So even if they were in schism then, they are not now. And that's always been my position. If we stop listening to people's opinions and look to what the church has said to the question, can I go to an SSPX Mass without sinning, being excommunicated, or incurring some other penalty and fulfill my Sunday obligation? This 2003 PCED letter gives the answer, a very reluctant yes. This has never been changed. How can the answer be yes if they're in schism? Well, I think Father Aylar has the answer to that and other questions. He says, quoting, I believe, Cardinal Burke, the fact that the excommunications were lifted, they've been given faculties for confessions and marriages, yet their masses are illicit and they are not in full communion, as is an anomaly. Well, no, it's not. You can't have your excommunication lifted and not be in communion. A priest can't receive faculties when they're suspended, and the faithful cannot fulfill their Sunday obligation by attending your masses when other masses are available if you're in schism. Look, I like Father Chris Aylar, and I haven't changed my mind about that. However, I feel that his video on the SSPX did not give the society a fair shake and deserved a response. Hopefully I did so with respect. He is a priest, after all. I also do not believe that Father Aylar had malicious intentions towards the SSPX, but was doing what he felt was right. But there's more that needs to be considered. That's all. Until my next video, God bless.